Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show, powered by the Sports Kings here on iHeartRadio. It is a Tuesday, July 14, 2020. I hope your week is off to a great start. And I can't believe that we're in the middle of the month already. I mean, it just seems like the 4th of July was last week or something. I mean, July is flying by, folks. So, wow. Hope everything is well. You know, before I get too deep into this show, I do want to take time and acknowledge all of the lives that have been lost by COVID-19. I mean, you know, I spent a lot of time doing these podcasts talking about people who are testing positive and safety precautions, this, that, and the other, and how it is affecting the sports leagues, you know, the professional sports. But I have yet to just take time and acknowledge all of those individuals who have lost their lives to COVID-19. 136,000 people. They were our mothers, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunties, cousins, nephew, nieces, you name it. I mean, make up that 136,000 people. And, you know, and it's so easy to just sort of like, you know, you see that number on TV and or you see that number in you know, wherever you see it, and you don't really just think about it. Just close your eyes and think a minute, you know. And because I know most of you like sports, that's why you listen to my show. So imagine a place like Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium in Dallas. Now, I know that place holds probably about 110,000, and if you were to put extra people just on the field, just fill up the entire stadium everywhere to capacity, you might be looking at 136,000 people just standing in there. So imagine that. Close your eyes and imagine that, and imagine all those people, you know, dead. They have died to corona, to COVID-19, and imagine that, you know. I mean, if you don't even believe in this virus, which some people don't, I mean, you know, you have to explain, okay, wow, what happened to 136,000 people that are no longer here? And because you may not have lost someone, or don't even know of anyone, that have passed away, what about people who have tested positive? So think about that and where it could potentially lead to. I'm just saying, okay, so I'm not really trying to persuade anybody. I'm just really trying to acknowledge the obvious. So wanted to just mention that here at the top of the show. So today's show is going to focus exclusively on the WNBA and the NBA, with only a few weeks before the start of the restart of the NBA season, and it's going to be the WNBA season kickoff. So both leagues have reported to their destinations. The NBA is in Orlando at the Walt Disney World Resort, and the WNBA is in Bradenton, Florida. I personally have spent a lot of time in Florida. Man, it started early in my career when I was a teenager. I went to boot camp in Orlando, Florida. So that introduced me. As a matter of fact, Florida was the first. Well, no, I did go to Texas as a kid, but Florida was the first state I flew to on my first plane ride. So I was going to boot camp, went to Orlando, enjoyed the place, and have since frequented that place a lot. I did a show in Bradenton. WWPR, I mention all the time here, and I've also attended the Super Bowl between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Arizona Cardinals. Y'all remember that? That was in Tampa at Raymond James Stadium. So always spending time there in Florida. Got some great friends in Florida. Sonny Thompson, who has been on this show, did some work with her in Tampa. She covers boxing, so she's all into boxing. So Sony, hello, if you're listening to the podcast. But anyway, so that's what's happening in Florida. And the reason why I'm really just kind of talking about, you know, what's going on in Florida is because health officials over there has reported the highest daily increase of deaths in Florida residents from COVID-19. They just did that earlier today, and over 9,000 positive COVID-19 tests and 132 more deaths were reported by the Florida Department of Health. And that was this morning. That was the highest death count since the 120 that was reported last week, July 9th. So that makes a total of 4,409 Floridians who have died from coronavirus. And this is according to the Florida Department of Health. So, I mean, there's a major concern as it relates to the WNBA and the NBA, because it's almost like they're going to the hot spots, wherever those players were prior to, you know, getting on a plane with their teammates. They all had to be wondering and thinking on those flights to Florida, we're going to Florida. And the news hasn't gotten any better since they, you know, have arrived down there. So, I mean, and the NBA has a protocol and guidelines, same thing with the WNBA, that we're going to talk about a little bit later in the podcast on, you know, what they're planning to do. I mean, it's very detailed, but I mean, safety is the main concern. And I just don't really care what you put in place. I mean, if you're going to get COVID-19, you're going to get it, you know, and I don't know. I mean, we can do what we do. I worry every time I leave, you know, home, and, you know, I put on my battle gear, so to speak, but yeah, I mean, you just never know. And then the asymptomatic people, they never know. They never care. They just think business as usual. The only time we pay attention is when I mention the 136,000 people mm-hmm. who have died, and the hundreds of thousands were actually, what is something, what, 3 million that are positive. So anyway, so we're going to talk about that in the show today. We'll talk about some of the positive cases in the NBA and the WNBA. And speaking of the WNBA, now there's a WNBA player who has not been cleared to play by her own doctors, but the WNBA doctors are saying that she can play. So this is very interesting, and we'll talk about that. We'll talk about Russell Westbrook from the Houston Rockets, who tested positive. And I have, you know, some information on Russell Westbrook and what's going on with him. I mean, you are going to be amazed by how detailed the guidelines are for the NBA restart and what they're going to be doing down there in Florida. So it's very, very interesting. And, you know, I mean, I hope, I'm not sure they can put it off. I hope they can put it off, you know, without any slip ups. But I mean, I think I reported on the last podcast that, you know, some players had already tested positive within the bubble. And this could be, you know, from traveling to the bubble and, or getting to the bubble. And, you know, I mean, because it's just, you got to be in contact with someone. You're just not going to be in contact with NBA players, and you're not going to be by yourself. So, I mean, you can only do so much, you know. So that's going to be interesting, but we're going to talk about that. Now, as far as the WNBA, this morning I received an email from the media director for the Chicago Sky, and man, I really enjoyed hanging out with them years ago. I mean, I have been on their mailing list forever and a day. Great people up there. So they invited me to a Zoom teleconference, and I had a chance to kind of chime in on that and listen to Coach James Wade, who is now the head coach in his second season with the Chicago Sky. And he sort of just kind of talked about what was going on down there with the team and the expectations for the year, because he's having to move forward and talk about the season. I mean, you know, me and you can think about COVID-19 and this, that, and the other. These other guys, they still have to prepare for you know, the reason why they're down there. So he kind of talked about the expectations of the Chicago Sky. And I also got some comments from Chicago Sky player Cheyenne Parker. She also talked about what it felt like to be down there, what it's been like since she's been there in her hotel room, and just sort of interacting with people and stuff like that. So it's going to be a pretty interesting show, folks. So I need you to kind of stick around. And when I come back after this break, we're going to get the latest on the NBA bubble in Orlando. And I'll just let you know what's going on with that. So it's the Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio.
A social distancing tip.
While the CDC urges you to avoid close contact, like hugging or shaking hands, there are other non-physical ways to say hello. Wave, wink, use sign language, salute, smile, give the peace sign, throw up an air high five, do jazz hands. Remember, stay a minimum of 6 feet or 2 arms length away from others, and stay home if you can. For more info, visit coronavirus.gov.
Let's all do our part, because we're all hashtag alone together. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
And we are back, folks. Once again, it's the Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio. Joining you on a Tuesday, July 14, 2020. Almost the middle of the month, moving right along, just a couple of weeks before the restart of the NBA season. And I mean, there's just so much happening right now with the NBA. And unfortunately, the advantage I have with doing the show 2 days a week is that I really get a chance to look at what's happening, kind of research and see, try to check on my sources and make sure all this stuff is good, and just really spend a lot of time, you know, just getting the story right. But so many things are happening. I mean, while I'm trying to follow up on one particular story, then another story breaks out. So I was already prepared to talk to you about Victor Oladipo and his salary situation with the Indiana Pacers, and then all of a sudden there's just more stuff happening. And I get to that too, but let me just go ahead and talk about this one, because this one is really important. And this one of course involves the Indiana Pacers guard Victor Oladipo. Now he has $3 million. He wish he had $300 million. $3 million in salary for the 2019-20 season. Now, but that salary is in dispute because he reconsidered participating in the NBA restart. This was after already saying that he didn't intend to play in Orlando because he wanted to fully recover from the torn quadriceps tendon he suffered last year. I mean, you guys, have you ever seen Victor Oladipo? You know how important he is to the Indiana Pacers. But he recently cleared the quarantine inside the Disney bubble. So he actually traveled with the team, you know, get to be there, even though he didn't really think he was going to play. He cleared the quarantine. He traveled with the team. He's inside the bubble. And he participated in practices with them, including 5-on-5 practices with his teammates. So, I mean, this made everyone think that, okay, well, he might be ready to play, right? So, well, at least he thought that. Anyway, so the NBA rules for the restart state that players who are healthy and elect not to play must forgo the remainder of their salary. Interesting. So the league believes that Oladipo's poor declaration that he wouldn't participate means he shouldn't be paid. Now, and this is also according to ESPN. So, you know, the players union is going to get involved, right? And they are definitely going to be on Oladipo's side and think that he should be paid. But meanwhile, while the NBA and the NBA Players Association is looking at this, the Pacers have decided that they're going to go ahead and pay Oladipo's salary whether he plays or not. So this is one of those situations. And I'm going to tell you about the one that's happening in the WNBA as well with a player almost similar to what Oladipo is going through, but just interesting. One of the big name players for the WNBA too. So, I mean, so that's what's going on. So the league is just trying to get, you know, control and you know, when it comes to healthy players who decided, who might decide, or who decided not to participate but might, you know, want to play. So anyway, this is really going to be interesting, but the Pacers would need him. So in a podcast last week, maybe it was, well, yes, it could have been last week, maybe the first week, but anyway, it talked about the Brooklyn Nets and all of their players. I mean, there was like a host of players that were either injured or just decided not to play for the Brooklyn Nets. Kyrie Irving injured, DeAndre Jordan, Spencer Dinwiddie, Taryn Prince, Wilson Chandler. They were already ruled out for the remainder of the season. So, and then, you know, that left the Brooklyn Nets sort of shorthanded. So I talked about that. They were trying to go out and get Michael Beasley. I think they signed Jamal Crawford. Well, anyway, and this is part of what I'm trying to keep you up to date with on how many players are testing positive. Well, Michael Beasley tested positive for COVID-19. Okay. So he had to return to his home. Now, this is coming from The Athletic. That is a very highly respectable sports news outlet. So it's unclear if Beasley will return to the Brooklyn Nets this season. But the team's first game of the seeding phase is set for later this month, July 31st, versus the Orlando Magic. So, I mean, he officially signed last week as a substitute player. Okay. And he was basically brought in to address the team's growing list of absences due to injury, whether it was health concerns or personal reasons. And it just really would have helped this team out to some degree. But now he's not going to be out. I mean, he's not going to be part of that team. So very, very interesting as things continue to happen in the NBA. Also, another story is Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan, who is an assistant coach with the San Antonio Spurs. I found out something about Tim Duncan today that I didn't realize. I mean, there's nothing spectacular. I didn't know Tim Duncan was 44 years old. I mean, so it either means a couple of things. He played in the league a very long time, or Mean Gene is just old. I would like to think that Tim Duncan played in the league a very long time. Let's say he started when he was 12. No, I'm just kidding. But no, Tim Duncan, the San Antonio Spurs assistant coach, he will not join the team in Orlando. He's actually going to stay and help LaMarcus Aldridge sort of, you know, rehabilitate from his injury. So LaMarcus Aldridge, I know he underwent surgery on his right shoulder, and he was ruled out, you know, for the remainder of the season, so he won't be playing. So Tim Duncan won't be down there in the bubble with the San Antonio Spurs. But Greg Popovich is there. So that's what's happening in the NBA. So how about we take it to the WNBA, where things are just really exciting. As I told you earlier, I had a chance to participate in a WebEx, or it really wasn't a WebEx, it was a Zoom, okay, teleconference call with the Chicago Sky coach James Wade. Very interesting as that team gets ready for the start of their season. This is the start of their season, the kickoff for their season. So Coach Wade in his second year with the Chicago Sky. Great organization, by the way. I will always say that because I had an opportunity to spend time in with that team in their training camps. And Pokey Chapman was the coach back then, but very interesting organization. They've had a lot of turnover there, player-wise, even management-wise, but still an organization that keeps me close to what's happening. So we're going to get some sound bites from Coach Wade. I know he was asked about whether or not, because the schedules came out for the WNBA. And last year, the Las Vegas Aces, which is that new team out in Las Vegas, They played against the Chicago Sky in playoffs, so just kind of almost like a rivalry starting, good competition. But anyway, this year they opened up against the Las Vegas Aces. So one of the reporters on the teleconference call asked Coach Wade about the season opener against the Las Vegas Aces, and this is what he had to say.
I'm just looking forward to us playing basketball. This is a new year, so we're not really focused on anything that happened last year. We just want to get off to a good start. I'm more reminiscent of our first game last year against Minnesota, where I didn't think that we were physically ready. So we just want to make sure we don't make that same mistake and we come out with a high level of play and a high intensity and, you know, ready to get to our spot. So that's what I'm thinking about more of is, you know, us getting off to a good start and being ready to play WNBA basketball from the beginning.
Well, there you have it, Coach Wade. More concerned about how they started last year against the Minnesota team and looking at the changes that they're having to deal with now, being in Florida and not, no one's going to be on their home court. So just a whole different environment, whole different situation. Definitely don't think, I mean, all teams down there are going to be on an even level playing field down there. I mean, on the same, you know, court there, no home court advantage at all. And but that Aces team was pretty interesting last year. And very, very interesting comments there by Coach Wade. So now Cheyenne Parker came and not going to play the entire. She actually was asked some good questions and she answered some pretty tough questions, but mainly about being able to adapt to that bubble setting and living in a hotel and just all of that stuff. I mean, it's just completely different. WNBA, NBA players are used to living in hotels because they travel, right? They go on the road. But this is a long-term situation where you're going to play your season, you know, at the same location. You're going to be in a hotel for the season, okay, for however long they can put this off, right? So she definitely addressed that question pretty good by saying, you know, because she played overseas, and most of those players, they live in hotels. So the only big difference is that, you know, you're having to adjust to the language barrier, you know, whether it's China or whatever, wherever you're playing. And she said that in this particular case, you know, the hotel thing is not that bad. And the fact that she's going to be with her teammates and they speak English, that probably going to make things just a little bit better. But she was also asked a very funny question near the end of the press conference. And I'm going to share that with you. I won't even say anything. Let me just play it and we'll talk about it. Here it is.
And a real quick fun question. And thank you, Kelly. What was the one thing when you were coming into the bubble that you were like, I can't leave home without?
Honestly, I can't even say.
Okay.
It's kind of personal.
I got you. All right, fair enough. Thank you.
Very, very good question and answer. I don't know if you... It just sounded like it was one of those stage questions. I don't know. It seemed like, okay, I dare you to ask me that question during this teleconference here. But anyway, the guy, the reporter wanted to know, hey, what was that one thing that you couldn't leave at home that you had to bring? And she thought about it for a minute and I really can't say. And then you hear the laughing afterwards. So very interesting. So I won't even get into what I think that one thing was. But anyway, had to share it with you. Hey, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we are going to wrap up the podcast. And we're going to talk about that one WNBA player I mentioned earlier who has an illness. Actually, she suffers from Lyme disease. And her doctors basically said that, you know what, that's sort of underlying and could perhaps, you know, be a problem with COVID-19. So we're going to talk about that, folks. You're listening to the Mean Gene Show here on a Tuesday, July 14th, 2020, here on iHeartRadio.
There are everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, nose, and mouth. Stay home when you are sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects with household cleaning spray. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and this station.
Okay, the final segment here on the Mean Gene Show. Hope you have enjoyed it so far. We'll be back Thursday, and there's going to be a lot to follow up on as the NBA continues their quest to restart the season and the WNBA get ready for the kickoff. I mean, I promise you I will talk about the competitive advantages at some point, but right now, I mean, there's just so much happening with COVID-19, especially in the state of Florida, and this bubble stuff, this, that, and the other. And it's just so much to talk about. And Russell Westbrook, I'm sorry, I almost forgot to talk about Russell Westbrook. And let me just cover this before we get into the story of the WNBA superstar here. Russell Westbrook tested positive for COVID-19. Now, I mean, all of the players, you know, they were supposed to go down during this little short window of time. And they were supposed to travel together. So when the Houston Rockets left Texas and there was no James Harden or Russell Westbrook, minor concerns, because teams could always play that off by saying, hey, you know what? They had some personal things they had to deal with. And they were not lying, because Russell Westbrook was dealing with COVID-19. He tested positive. And the fact that him and James Harden hang around each other and are so close together, you know. One would have to think, well, what's going on with James Harden? And then, and I keep mentioning the fact that, you know, Mike D'Antoni is a very older coach. And, you know, Lonnie Hollins for the Lakers will not be able to go because of his age and underlying conditions. So just interesting. But anyway, so Westbrook needs to clear the quarantine process and needs to test negative, you know, for a couple of times. Just kind of the whole, you know, scenario that we kind of are becoming familiar with now. But this just goes to show the seriousness of this whole thing regarding, you know, the NBA wanting to play and COVID-19 and everything. I mean, this is very serious stuff here. And I'm not saying that the NBA is not taking this serious, but I mean, it just goes to show you, I would not at all be surprised for some reason if the league had to pull the rug from underneath this entire thing. And if the NBA does it, everyone else would do it. I think baseball, I don't know. I mean, I think they'll try to push it a little bit farther. But, you know, I mean, I just hate to sound like, you know, that person that's a party pooper and killing the whole thing. But, it's just, you know, as I mentioned at the top of the show, 136,000 people, you know, lost their lives. And you just cannot ignore this. But anyway, so that's what's going on with Russell Westbrook. And then the phases, the NBA, some of the guidelines as far as what teams need to do. Like, right, you know, there's like, just like the phases that you states are having with their governors, you know, we're going to open up the economy of the state in phases 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Well, the NBA had something similar like that. I mean, from players that are at home now or were at home, and what they needed to do and what their personnel needed to do, from getting into the gymnasiums and practicing and testing and just getting everyone ready, and all the NBA staff and personnel getting them ready to go to Orlando. Once they got to Orlando, general managers and the teams had responsibilities to report all of what was happening with their teams to the NBA. Okay, did you get the testing done? Who's going to be on the flights going down? Who's coming later? Who hasn't tested? All of this stuff, you know, that they had to submit to the NBA. And then once they, I mean, because most of the teams arrived, phase four, I believe, of that was, okay, when they get to the bubble in Orlando, then there's more follow-up. Okay, let's administer tests, you know, who came, who didn't. And almost like a like that, what do they call it? The contact tracing type thing, but just doing it within the NBA. And it's just amazing, though. I mean, it's just so much. So you would have to wonder that players that come late to the bubble. I mentioned last week, you know, two positive test results in the bubble. And so, I mean, so this is why all of this is like, you know, concerning, and to the point where we have to talk about it, or at least I have to talk about it the way I do, because I want to make sure that for some reason, if the NBA pulls the carpet on this, we know why. We saw it happening. But at the same time, folks, I mean, and don't I mean, I mean I do want to see competitive basketball. I mean, it'd be nice to see it. It'd be nice to know that it's going to happen. And although I don't believe in whoever wins the NBA championship this year is like the champion. I mean, I say sarcastically that they are the 2019-20 COVID champions. But you know, we're going to see. I mean, we might see, you know, the NBA might pull this off, and maybe they, if they could really follow these strict rules and guidelines, maybe, just like they set the tone when they canceled the season or, you know, postponed it and took, you know, and had to get this together. I mean, if they can put this off and, you know, without any issues, man, you know, we, I mean, this is going to be interesting too. So anyway, wanted to get that comment in there. But anyway, Della Dunn, she's a star player for the Washington Mystics. She used to play for the Chicago Sky. As a matter of fact, that's the first time I met her, was when she played with the Chicago Sky. But anyway, Elena Della Dunn is a, she's with the Washington Mystics, and she has a medical opt-out request for this season. All right? This came from her doctors. And she is wanting to use that for as her reason for not wanting to play. Only problem is the NBA denied it. Okay, their league appointed physician said no. Okay, and this story is being reported by John Barr from ESPN. So she's the reigning MVP for the WNBA, but you know, her physicians feel that she is a high risk illness due to the fact that she has Lyme disease. So she has a history of Lyme disease. So they feel that she is definitely a serious risk if she was to contract COVID-19. So, I mean, you know, and I'm just going to read here a statement of what she said. The independent panel of doctors, the league appointed to review high-risk cases, have advised that I'm not high risk and should be permitted to play in the bubble. So she says, I love my team and we had an unbelievable season last year and I want to play. But the question is whether or not the NBA, the WNBA bubble is safe for me. So her personal doctors who treated her advised her that Lyme disease for years, that has treated her for Lyme disease for years and advised her that she's at high risk for contracting and having complications from COVID-19. And so this is interesting, you know, so she can opt out. She can still choose to opt out of the 2020 season, but she cannot play and she won't get paid because she isn't medically excused. So sort of similar to Victor Oladipo that we talked about earlier, but interesting though. I mean, it's interesting. So we're going to see, we don't know if she's going to play or not. She might continue because now it's going to come down to a medical and a financial decision. I think the medical decision has been voiced. Now, we will see ultimately if it's going to be a financial decision. So, I mean, I don't know. And it's just a shame that these players have to be, you know, have to be put in into these situations here. And don't know if the Washington team is going to pay her salary like the Pacers did for Victor Oladipo. So we definitely have to keep an eye on and see exactly what's going to happen with that. But anyway, that's all I have, folks. I mean, I know there's some other news out there. And I know, I mean, just a follow-up to what I talked about, I believe on the last show, was the Atlanta Dream, the co-owner who doesn't agree with the league's, you know, mission for Black Lives Matter. She is just, she's not willing to give up her stake in the WNBA team. So that's going to be more drama. And we're going to see how that's going to play out, though. But anyway, also the WNBA did release their schedule for the 2020 season, which begins on July 25th. So they actually get started a little bit before the NBA season. And something that the NBA players are not, they're not doing it, but the WNBA players had an option to bring their kids with them. So they're the only ones that are allowed to be in the bubble. So Candace Parker, she has an 11-year-old daughter, and I mean, she says, hey, it's a package deal. She got to be with me. So, I mean, these are mothers. So, and some of these players have kids. So, I mean, you know, that was something that I didn't even think about, you know. I mean, but so the WNBA did clear the way for that to be okay. Of course, everyone has to go through the testing and the whole nine yards. So anyway, this is going to be interesting. I mean, we're less than, you know, almost, what, 11 days for the start of the WNBA season, and then about 15, 16 days from when the NBA is going to get going. So, hey, once we get into the competitiveness of this, and I mean, I would be more than happy to not have to talk about the COVID-19 thing and knowing that everything is just going well, but we just have to, you know, be cautious of what's happening. These folks are in Florida, and hopefully we'll see cases in Florida decline and things get a little bit better. But anyway, hey, we'll come back to a Thursday, you know, and just see what's going on. I have a lot more information for you on Thursday. So anyway, enjoy the next couple of days. I'll see you on Thursday. You've been listening to the Mean Gene Show here on iHeartRadio. Hey, don't forget to download the podcast. Tell some other people about this podcast, because, you know, just say, hey, there's this guy that kind of knows what he's talking about. And, you know, if you're my friends out there, you know me. Okay, so you can definitely co-sign for me, right? But you can catch the show on podbean.com. You can get it on iHeartRadio, Spotify, Google Play, iTunes, TuneIn Radio. So that's what, 5-6 different podcast sites where you can go in and get the show. You can listen to this show. You can listen to shows from, you know, weeks, years ago. I mean, you just tons of shows. Even my days on Yahoo Sports Radio nationwide and SB Nation. Some good shows. Some great times, though. So anyway, I will see you on Thursday, and enjoy the rest of your day.